Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. The title of my message tonight is 100% Surrendered. 100% Surrendered. And as you're turning to Exodus chapter 2, I'd just like to read to you a verse that is in the New Testament, but speaks to this theme, Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants all of us when he asks us to give ourselves to him. In Romans chapter 12, he pictures it as a living sacrifice. God wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice to him. And through the story of Moses and the call of Moses, we can see that God has different areas in our lives that we need to surrender to him in order to be 100% surrendered. Now, if you know anything about Moses, you probably know that he lived to be an old man. He lived 120 years, and his life can be divided up into three basic sections. The first section was when he was living in the palace of Pharaoh. He was living in the home of Pharaoh. He was born, and when he was a child, he was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. And then when he was 40 years old, he became a shepherd and was for 40 years in the land of Midian as a shepherd. And then when he was 80 years old, the Lord called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. And I want to look at Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and with the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, the first thing we see about Moses' life that we can apply to our life, and it really wasn't something that Moses chose. He was a baby. He was put into a river, and he was taken out of the river, and that's what his name means. His name, the name Moses, means drawn out, and it was a picture of his whole life. And this brings me to my first point, that Moses had to leave the place of his people. Moses had to leave the place of his people. You know, sometimes God calls us to leave the place of our people. Now, I don't know what Stephen felt like when he got back to America, but he said he had that sense that he's home. This is amazing. I'm back in America. And you know, when you go to a foreign land, you realize how much you had in America. You realize how good your country is. We really do live in a great country. The organization that we have in America is phenomenal compared to what they have in Africa. I don't care where you go in Africa, even in South Africa, one of the most organized countries, I suppose, in Africa, yet they don't quite have it like we have it here in America. I read about an accident on the freeway, I believe it was, and I think it was 38 people died in that one accident. Just a bunch of people in one of those minibus taxis, and a semi probably hit them. 38 people died. And it just makes me think, wow, I'm thankful for America. But when you're in Africa, you have to realize that if you're there and God has called you, America's not your home anymore. That's where God has called you. That's your home now. And you have to surrender to leave the place of your people. You might get longing sometimes. Oh, I wish I could have the organization in America. I wish I could have the honesty that they have in America. But you have to leave the place of your people. God may call you to leave the place of your people as well. God may call you to leave America. Do you have that surrendered in your life that you would leave America if God would call you to do that? You may just be surrendered to the fact in your own mind that you're not going to be a missionary because you'd never want to have to leave America to go live in a place like Africa. But Moses, he had to be drawn out of his, not just the river, but he was drawn out of the place where he lived, drawn out of his culture, the children of Israel, and he lived in the palace of Pharaoh. They saw that he was a goodly child, but he had no choice in the matter. But you know, we have a choice in the matter. If God decides to call us, we need to be willing to leave the place of our people. Secondly, I see that Moses had to leave the place of his training. Look in verse 11. This is skipping quite a few years. In fact, it's skipping, we see between verses 10 and verse 11, there's 40 years have elapsed. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses had to leave the place of his training. Moses realized that he wasn't among his own people. He realized, you know what? I want to go back to my people. And God ultimately had called him to his people. But for 40 years, he had to be in the household of Pharaoh, being trained by Pharaoh. He had to be surrendered to leave his people. But then God wanted him to go back to his people. And Moses realized that. Now, not everything in Moses' life did he do in the right timing or in the right way. And it wasn't quite God's timing yet for him to go back to his people. But Moses had to leave the place of his training. Now, maybe you've been in a place of training and you think, well, how could God call me to be on the mission field? I'm training to be an engineer, or I'm training to be whatever it may be, an accountant or a farmer. I want to do something with my life. You might have to leave the place of your training. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. We see something else about what Moses had to leave when he left the household of Pharaoh. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses had to leave the place of pleasures as well. Now, this is not a separate point, but it's something we need to understand. When he left Pharaoh's household, he was leaving all that came with it as well, the power, the prestige, the ability to do whatever he wanted. Moses left all of that. You know, you need to be willing to leave the things in life that bring you enjoyment. Now, God may not call you to be a missionary to Kenya or to South Africa or to Hungary or to South America or to another state like Indiana, but God may be asking you to give up something in your life. I don't know what that may be tonight, but God may be asking you to give up something that you enjoy, that brings you pleasure. And I'm sure Moses had a lot of things in his life that brought him pleasure, but he had to give them up because it says here, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you esteem the reproaches of Christ, suffering as a Christian, to be better than to have the things of the world? That's what Moses, he had to decide that. He came to that point in his life and he decided it. Let's look over at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 23. This is Stephen, one of the first deacons in the church. And he was giving his speech to the Jews, and they killed him at the end of this. But it says here in verse 23, and when he was full 40 years old, that's referring to Moses, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now we'll stop right there. Moses had a desire to go and visit his brethren, the children of Israel, because he had a heart to see them come out of the bondage. And verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So Moses left the place of his training because he knew God had a call upon his life to deliver the children of Israel. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. This leads me to my third point, that Moses had to leave his land. Moses had to leave his land. Verse 13, we jump back into the story here of Moses. Exodus chapter 2, verse 13. We're right in the middle where he slew a man. And then he goes out the next day, verse 13. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So Moses knew God had a call upon his life. Moses knew that he was supposed to be God's channel, God's instrument to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, as God had promised. As he promised he would give them the land of Canaan, Moses knew that he was the man to deliver them. But the problem was, it wasn't God's timing. And when we obey God's will, we need to do it in his timing and not just jump into it and try to rush everything and do it in our timing. You know, sometimes deputation can be hard because you have a burden for a mission field and you want to get there right away. And you want to do what God has called you to, but you have to wait for God's timing. It might take a year, 2 years, 3 years. For my brother Josh, I think it took almost 4 years. You have to wait on God's timing. And God, Moses had to leave his land. God had to train him in another place. You know, God might have to move you out of your comfort zone, and he might have to train you in another land, or he might have to train you in another place that you're not used to. You know, you might be older, and you might have to go to Bible college if God calls you as an adult. And you might not be comfortable with that. You know, you already resigned to the fact that I'm done with you know, reading books and learning and going to school. But if God calls you, you might be 30 years old, you might be 40 years old, you might be 50 years old. God has a calling on your life, and you need to be willing to leave your land, to leave your comfort zone, so God can do some more training in your life. Let's turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 7. This is a parallel passage telling the same story, so we're going to look at it again. If you want, you can put a bookmarker there. Acts chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 26. Acts 7, verse 26. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and he would have set them at once again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. So God sent him into the land of Midian. Moses, in his own power, in his own effort, he tried to do God's will. He wasn't ready to wait. You know, he was 80 years old. He probably thought, if it's time, I got to do it now. I don't have much time left in my life. I'm 80 years old. You know, the book of Psalm talks about how, you know, if you're 70 years old, that's the days of men. But if you're 80 years old, you know, that's because you have strength. Now, we have Brother and Mrs. Buta here. They're 90 years old, right? Now, they have a lot of strength. But, you know, if God called you and you're 50 years old, you might be thinking, well, I'm getting too old for God to call me into missions. But you're not too old. God had a call on Moses when he was 80 years old, but he tried to rush it, even at 80 years old, because he thought, now is the time, I'm going to do it. But God still had to do something in his life. Let's look at Exodus again. Exodus chapter 2. This leads me to my fourth point. Moses had to leave his training for God's training. Moses had to leave his training for God's training. Moses wasn't quite ready yet to do God's will for his life, so he had to go to Midian. Verse 15 of Exodus 2, Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, How is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Moses had to leave his training. He was trained in the land of Egypt, the capital of the empire of the world, the Egyptian empire. He had to leave his great place of training, and he had to go to God's place of training. Moses had all the degrees that he would have needed to lead a people. He would have had a political science degree, a degree in economics, a degree in agriculture probably. He had a degree in everything probably. But God wanted him to leave his place of training and go to God's place of training. God might have some training that he wants you to have in your life. You know, as you get older as a Christian, God always has something else to teach you. I don't care if you're 20 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 years old. God has something to teach you. That's why we need to read our Bible every day and pray, because God has something to teach us in his word. That's why you need to be faithful in God's house, because God has something to teach you. That's why you need to be there for Sunday school every Sunday, because God has something to teach you. This is God's place of training for his people. You know, on the mission field, what would you desire? You would desire that the people in Elandsfontein Baptist Church would be faithful to all the services. But that's what you should expect of yourselves as well, because this is God's place of training. I don't know exactly where God wants to train you or what training he has in your life, but God has some way that he wants to train you. God had to put Moses from being a ruler of people to being a ruler of sheep. Now, I'm sure there was a good reason why God put Moses in the shepherd role, because Moses would be going throughout the wilderness. In fact, when we pick up on the story again, we'll find that Moses is at the mountain of God, where God gave him the Ten Commandments. And Moses was in that wilderness. God taught him the way of the wilderness. God taught him how to lead sheep. You know, sheep and people are a lot alike. We're both stubborn, both foolish many times, both don't like being led by leaders, you know. And so God had some training in his life, and there was very good reason to it, even at 80 years of age. Let's look again at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we'll pick up with Stephen's account of the story here. Acts 7:29. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Now let's turn back to Exodus chapter 2. If we read the story twice, we're more likely to remember it. Exodus chapter 2 in verse 23. This gives a little bit more background on the story. Exodus 2:23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. We serve a God who never forgets his promises. We serve a God that in our distress, he always hears us. And God knew for those 300 some years that they had been crying that he was going to answer. He knew that after 400 years, he was going to lead them out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan. God didn't forget. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, we see how God was about ready to show Moses that he was the man he wanted to send. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. My fifth point is Moses had to leave his occupation so that he could follow God's calling. Moses had to leave his occupation so that he could follow God's calling. He was 80 years old at this point, and God By the way, I got some of my figures messed up there. He was 40 years before. Now he's 80 years. And God was ready to use Moses. He was 80 years old. He had to leave his occupation so that he could follow God's calling. Now, how many of us would be willing at 80 years of age to leave our occupation to follow God's calling? Moses wasn't quite ready at this point. We're not going to get into that whole thing about how Moses gave excuses. Every excuse that Moses gave, though, God had a reply. Moses said, "What am I going to say?" God gave him something to say. Moses said, "They're not going to listen to me." God had a reply to that. In the end, Moses said, "Well, Lord, just basically," he said, "just send somebody else." And Moses wasn't going to get away that easy. And God said, "I'm still going to send you." He sent Aaron along with him, but Moses didn't get away from it. You know, God might ask you to surrender something in your life that you're not ready to give up. God might ask you to leave your comfort zone in your life so that you can follow His calling. You know, part of the reason why for part of my teenage years I didn't want to be a preacher and I wanted to be a politician, part of it was because I kind of had a knack for those things. But the other thing was because I wasn't comfortable with being a preacher. I was shy. I wasn't really good at preaching, and I don't even know that I am now. But I wasn't comfortable with it. And you may not be comfortable with what God is calling you to. Maybe God's calling you to be a Sunday school teacher or work in kids club or go soul winning or be faithful to church, and you're just not comfortable with that. But God wants you to do what He wants you to do, even if you're not comfortable with that. Maybe you're not saved, and you're just not comfortable with coming down the aisle in front of everybody and showing them that you want to get saved. But God expects us to surrender everything to Him. Our occupation, our place of training, our land like America, to leave our people, leave our family. We need to put everything on the altar. You know, God can use you even if you're not a preacher right now. God can make you into one. I can think of some people like Paul. He was a Pharisee and he was a tent maker, but still God called him to be the Apostle Paul and start many churches and write much of the Bible. Think of a man named Billy Sunday who turned down a $3,000 baseball salary to work at the YMCA for $1,000. I can think of my dad who left being a civil engineer so he could be a preacher. Think of Dr. Rick. You were a business manager, weren't you? He left that business to go into Bible college. Now, his relatives probably thought he was nuts, but people might think you're kind of crazy, but God knows you're not. My wife's father, he was a mechanic, and he left that and a church in America to become a missionary. You may have to leave something that you're not comfortable leaving. You might have to give up something you're not comfortable with giving up. You might have to do something that's not comfortable for you, and it's going to cost you something, but God wants you to do it anyways, and God will continue working on you until you surrender in that area. You got to get back on the tracks wherever you get off. Whenever you get, your relationship with God isn't what it ought to be, He's going to bring you right back to the same point that He's been working on for years or days or whatever it is, and you're going to have to surrender that area. And you can't be right with Him fully until you surrender that area in your life. Let me just close with that verse again, Romans chapter 12. You can turn there if you'd like. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I just want to challenge each one of you to be 100% surrendered. Now, I didn't talk to my dad before the service and ask him what, you know, people aren't surrendered in. But if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, you need to surrender tonight. Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this missions conference. It's been a challenge to me, and it's been encouraging to see what you're doing in different countries and different places. But Lord, I know there's areas in each one of our lives that we need to surrender to you. Maybe there's someone here tonight that you're calling into some ministry, or you're calling into some place in the local church here. Lord, I pray that they'd surrender in their life. Maybe there's someone here that needs to be saved and they just need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that they would do that before it's too late. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.